So, this evening, we will move on to our next three verses of the book of Jude, which are from verses 8 until 10. Verses 8 until 10. Until now, we have learned that Jude was the one who wrote this letter. Jude, who is regarded as the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, did not identify himself as his brother. Rather, he saw himself first as his servant and then brother to James, who was, by the way, one of the most influential voices in the early church. And both Jude and James have proclaimed very clearly that God shows no partiality. Even though they had every right to call Jesus their brother, because they were born and brought up in their household, they identified themselves nothing but his servants. And Jude continues with this theme of identification and also identifies the church as someone who has been called, beloved, and kept by God for Jesus Christ, and prays for them, reminding them about the covenantal faithfulness of God. We have also learned that Jude had a different agenda to write this letter. He wanted to write about the common salvation he shared with the readers in Jesus Christ. But as though the Spirit of God dawned upon him and he came under some sort of a divine compulsion, and he changed the agenda to an exhortation, helping them to understand their need to contend for the faith that was delivered to them once and for all. And it was not something that he felt internally. It was obvious in the church he was in. He saw certain group of people who were like worms entered into the church of God, entered into the assembly of God. And all they did was tried to gain influence over the members of the church. These so-called believers, these so-called teachers, were living a life in such a way that denied any kind of authority, and above all, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, Jude says, the grace that they have received from God through faith, they turned that grace as a means to accomplish their own desires, as a means to accomplish their own agendas. And Jude tells us, these people are nothing but ungodly. That's their title. And for these teachers, these apostates, if we can call them, God has designated a judgment for them. And to prove his point, Jude gives us three examples from redemptive history. He mentions that these false teachers are like people of Israel who were saved by Jesus himself, but were destroyed afterward because of their lack of faith. These false teachers were like angels who left their position of authority, who left their position of prominence, just in order to gratify their own desires. And these false teachers were like residents of Sodom and Gomorrah, who took their sexual perversion to another level, so that they even wanted to have sexual relationships with angels. And Jude says, God had already set them as an example of how he is going to punish the false teachers and apostates of the church. And imagine, Jude says all of that in just 7 verses. Just 7 verses. So as I said, this evening we'll look at the next 3 verses, which are verses 8 until 10. And in this section, Jude primarily focuses on the nature and the works of the false teachers. The nature and the works of these four false teachers. In verse 8, as we can see, he continues after giving us illustrations from the Old Testament that yet in like manner or in same fashion, these people, these false teachers, rely on their dreams. They rely on their dreams. I believe this is one of the most significant characteristics of a false teacher, of any false teacher, to be honest. And it shows their understanding of the authority of the Word of God. Or it shows their where their authority is actually coming from. They're dependent on their own spiritual experiences, their own spiritual feelings, their own dreams, in order to know the will of God. Or in order to know God Himself. But can we accuse them of these things? Because we know that Joel prophesied that in the last days, young men will dream dreams and old men will have visions. So what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with their dreams? The only thing that is wrong with them is that they're using these dreams as an authoritative power to accomplish their own means. Their dreams have nothing to do with any kind of scriptural or apostolic authority. So whenever you feel, let me ask you, whenever you feel any kind of spiritual, or you go through any spiritual experience, do you check it with the Word of God? Do you check it with the traditions of the church? Whether they have been, whether people have gone through these same things or not. Jude here is warning us that we need to understand that our authority comes, or any, that our, how should I put it, that every feeling that we have, every subjective experience that we go through needs to go through the fire and filter of the Word of God. If it doesn't, that means it's not from God. It's not from God. And Jude says that on the basis of these dreams, they do three things. One, they defile the flesh. Second, they reject authority. And third, they blaspheme the glorious ones. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Now, isn't that obvious? If somebody who does not believe in the authoritative Word of God, he will do whatever he feels like. And that's what these false teachers are actually doing. They defile the flesh, which means they are still sexually perverted. They reject authority, which means they have no regard for any civil or ecclesiastical authority. They don't listen to their leaders of their states. They don't listen to leaders of their church. And they also blaspheme. They blaspheme the glorious ones. Now, who are the glorious ones? In the context, it's actually the angels. They are blaspheming against the angels. Now, the question comes, how are they blaspheming against the angels? And there are five views on that. There are five views about that. How false teachers blaspheme the angels. I found one convincing. I think that there was one view which convinced me, okay, seems like that's the one. I'll go for that. I'll go for that. So you may not agree with me, but let me know if you don't. So many commentators say that we have to see this phrase in the light of what Paul says in Galatians 3. And Paul say, and he states that the law was mediated through the agency of angels. And then it was given to Moses, and by extension to us. So these false teachers, either they are burdening the members of the church by telling them the law needs to be fulfilled by them, or the law doesn't matter at all. It is by misrepresenting the law they are blaspheming the angel one, in the glorious ones. They are saying, you didn't do your job properly. You are not good enough. You did not obey God at all. So that's how they blaspheme the angels or the glorious ones. The other way, which is slightly, I'll say it's the second best, is because these false teachers have no intention to serve. And the book of Hebrews say that at times whenever we show hospitality, we serve the angels unaware. Honestly, I still don't know what's truth in that. How did they actually blaspheme? But these two are the views, I think, which I think are quite convincing. But Jude contrasts their works. So what do these false teachers do? Relying on the basis of their dreams, they defile the flesh, they reject the authority and blaspheme the glorious ones. But then he contrasts their work with the works of the angel. And he says that when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, even he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, why is Jude mentioning this story here, this narrative here? First of all, it's not there in the Old Testament. He's quoting from a book called The Assumption of Moses or The Testament of Moses. And in one sense, Jude is giving a slap on the face of false teachers. They're saying, you by your dreams try to give an extra biblical revelation to us, but let me tell you what true spiritual discernment is. And he does not quote from the Old Testament, which is authoritative, but he says, I'm so discerning that I can extract out the truth even from the apocryphal, the extra-biblical sources. So, as I was going through this particular verse, I think we have to learn from these mistakes of the false teachers. And in one sense, Jude is trying to say we have to imitate and these false teachers in the exact opposite way. We have to honor our bodies. We have to honor the marriage. We have to honor the marriage beds. We have to keep ourselves sexually pure. We have to honor the authorities that God has placed over us, both civil and state. And we have to keep serving, or we have to understand the function of the law, of the Mosaic law, in the Christian life. And as we do these things, we will develop a sense of discernment, even to extract truths which are not there in the Word of God. But the question comes, why the Archangel Michael is disputing with the devil? What's up with the body of Moses? And I believe this is a sequel to Deuteronomy 34, I believe. This is a sequel to Deuteronomy 34. In Deuteronomy, we get to know that nobody buried Moses. In fact, the chapter ends that no one knows the burial place of Moses to this day. But we can imply that it was God who buried him. It was God who buried him. And by that burial, he showed to the people of Israel how he honored Moses, or how much he honored Moses. And interestingly, he sends the chief of the angels, Michael, to do the job. And as Michael is bearing up Moses' body, out of nowhere the evil one comes and starts disputing with him. So what's the dispute about? Now again, there is general consensus to it. It says, the evil one, being the chief of slanderers, being the chief of accusers, he was telling God that Moses does not deserve or does not deserve any kind of burial, let alone an honorary burial, because he murdered that Egyptian. So there's no point you can honor a murderer. And after listening to that, Michael says, I have nothing to say to you, but God will punish you. Lord will rebuke you. And that's all we know about the event. But the reason Jude has mentioned this very statement, or he's quoting the Archangel Michael. And this statement is not just a judgment on the devil. This statement is judgment on the false teachers. The Lord will rebuke these false teachers. The Lord will punish these apostates. And the reason for that is that these false teachers, these apostates, have slandered, have blasphemed to things that they do not understand, or about things they do not understand at all. And whatever they do understand, they understand on the basis of their dreams. And they are like unreasoning animals. Their understanding of God or about spiritual things come from their own passions, from their own desires. And Jude is very clear that these false teachers don't think about matters, but whatever they do understand it instinctively, they understand it intuitively. And he pronounces a curse to them. So how are we to apply, again, how are we to apply this text in our lives? As I said, we have to imitate the false teachers in exact opposite way. We have to give our bodies to the Lord as a spiritual sacrifice. We have to honor the civil and the state authorities. And we have to keep serving, or we have to keep wrestling through how we can apply the law of Moses in our lives. And that's the way to attain any kind of spiritual maturity or even discernment. And that's the message of Jude today. That's his message. That if you want to be mature, if you want to be discerning, you cannot rely on your dreams. You have to rely on the objective truths of God. Your subjective experiences have no value if they are not aligned with the Word of God. And every decision that we make in our lives needs to go through the filters and the fire of the Word of God. If it doesn't, it's better not to make it. Jude is warning us by not to imitate these false teachers, because their actions, their decisions are based on their own subjective experiences, not on any kind of authority, scriptural, apostolic, or ecclesiastical. So that's the message of Jude this evening. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for your word. We give you thanks for your servant Jude, whom you used to give us this message about apostasy, about false teachers, that how we need to guard ourselves against these teachers, Lord, and how we need to learn from their mistakes, Lord, that we can rely not on our subjective experiences or spiritual experiences, rather we should rely on your word, O Lord, and that we should exercise holiness, sexual purity, and honor the leaders that you have placed over us. And through this process, O Lord, you will bless us with spiritual discernment and maturity. So we ask you, Lord, that your spirit will guide us, will apply this word in our lives, specifically in the areas that we need, and that would make us more discerning as well as more mature. Thank you again, Lord, for your word and for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.